Monday morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome aboard to Fox Sports On The Road. I'm your host, Michael Cohen, as we are again going to bring you some sports talk here on this Saturday morning as we get you ready for another big day and a big weekend of sports action. Of course, on our channel, on our airwaves, we'll have the Rangers going into Las Vegas. Take on the Golden Knights, that game coming your way just around 10 o'clock tonight. As the Rangers, of course, have been scuffling really all season, and things haven't been looking too good, but they will be on the road in a big one tonight in L.A. Of course, on Sunday, we'll have the Knicks here on our airwaves. And also, folks, we're going to have a lot of college basketball, and we're going to get into Rutgers in just a little bit, as both men and women have been scuffling of late. But Rutgers women's basketball playing in Nebraska on Sunday afternoon at 12, and the men's team playing home to UCLA on Monday. But we open things up right now because it is NFL playoff time. We got a whole bunch of NFL playoff games kicking off later today, starting with those wild card games out of the AFC. But before I get into any of that, let's just quickly talk about this wild coaching carousel that has been taking place here in the National Football League, and of course with revolving around the New York Jets being one of six teams that are looking for head coaches. The Jets also one of two teams that are looking for a general manager going into the 2025 season. And we all, look, I'm as guilty as anybody else in thinking and possibly even falling for the idea that Mike Vrabel would be the lead candidate for this position to be the head coach of the Jets, saying, hey, look, this is the guy you have to go get. And obviously, based on the track record, based on his success as the Tennessee Titans head coach, yes, it made perfect sense for the Jets to circle Mike Vrabel as their guy. And it was easy for a lot of fans to get excited when they interviewed him last week. But when you consider the situation that's going on in New England, when you consider the way that has been handled, whether you with regards to Gerard Mayo, it was pretty obvious when the Patriots announced they were going to fire Gerard Mayo, it was all about trying to get Mike Vrabel. It was all about what the Jets did interviewing him that week and the fact that they were considered at the time a favorite potential landing spot. There was no way Robert Kraft was going to let that happen. Okay, there was no way he was going to let that happen. And kind of like what he tried to do 25 years ago with Belichick, swoops right in and makes the move. Now, hey, look, the only difference is at least Mike Vrabel didn't get to write on a napkin, I resign as HC to NYJ. Never got that far, thankfully. So more than likely, Vrabel's going to be the Patriots head coach, and that just means the Jets have to reshuffle the deck here, as they have been, and continue looking for that right fit. Now, they have been interviewing and have been putting requests in to interview just about everybody under the sun. They've interviewed Ron Rivera. They've interviewed Rex Ryan. They've interviewed Matt Nagy. They've interviewed Vance Joseph, and they also interviewed Aaron Glenn, who they interviewed on Thursday. And of course, if you ask me, out of that group, just of those that they have interviewed, the name that obviously sticks out that it's the most intriguing would be Aaron Glenn, not just from the standpoint that he played for the Jets many years ago, played for about 8 years from 94 to 2002, but the fact that as a defensive coordinator, he's been doing an incredible job in Detroit. That football team, defensively, think of the injuries they have had defensively, especially Aiden Hutchinson, and they keep on rolling. And Aaron Glenn had one of the best game plans you can think of, you can watch, last week against Minnesota. They dominated that game. Not just on the scoreboard, just dominated the line of scrimmage on that game. And it was impressive to watch. Even Sean Payton, I was quoted later on Monday saying, if you need an example, you know, Aaron Glenn doesn't need to do an interview. That was the interview right there. Just that tape of that defensive performance and what he was able to put together. So to me, and I know that a lot of fans want the offensive guy and the Jets need to, you know, figure out the offensive side of the ball, especially at the quarterback position. Aaron Glenn, to me, even though as a defensive coordinator, would be the most intriguing one on that list. Now, of course, Rex Ryan's on that list. And the thing that would worry me, let me just backtrack for a second, because you have other coaches that are going to be interviewed here in the next week or so. You know, you got Arthur Smith, who is potentially going to get interviewed. Bobby Slowick is going to get interviewed at some point. Josh McCown, another one who is on the list there. And even Brian Flores, the defensive coordinator of the Minnesota Vikings, he is also potentially going to get interviewed by the Jets as well. And when you look at the, when you really look at this and look at the way things are lining up around the league with all these teams that have these vacancies, the Jets need to make sure they get their guy in tow quickly. And I know it's going to be tough to do, especially if they have to wait, you know, past the big game or towards the big game to make that happen. But they need to have an idea of what they want and to get that done, especially in a situation where it feels like they're trying to hire the coach and the GM at the same time, which is very unusual. Usually you want to just get your GM and let him, you know, get acclimated to the organization and then pick the head coach. The Jets are trying to do the opposite. They're trying to hire both at the same time, and it feels like they're trying to get the head coach before the GM, which feels kind of weird as well. But I could see a situation, and we've seen reports over the last couple weeks. Of course, there were a lot of rumors in there, a lot of them unsubstantiated rumors. Let's just play devil's advocate here for a second. Let's just say Aaron Glenn goes to the Saints. He's been linked up to the Saints. Let's say he goes there. You got Vrabel to the Patriots, right? Let's say Brian Flores, who is an intriguing name, you know, a guy who has rebuilt his reputation a bit in Minnesota as a defensive coordinator, and then last year with Pittsburgh. Very intriguing name. Now, one that does come with the caveat that he, when he was a head coach in Miami all a few years ago, burned a lot of bridges, as was described by Ryan Fitzpatrick on his podcast. Despite all the issues that he had down in Miami, is an intriguing name. But let's just say he decides to go to Chicago or Las Vegas, right? So that's another top name going. So Vrabel going, Glenn going, and then Flores going. What are you going to do then if you're the Jets? And that's when I get the scare territory, right? That's when you're looking at Rex Ryan being a realistic possibility. That's when you're looking at Matt Nagy being a realistic possibility. That's when you're looking at Arthur Smith potentially being a real possibility. So that's what you have to be wary of. Even Vance Joseph, who as a head coach wasn't that great in Denver, he's a good defensive coordinator. That's what would worry me if you are a New York Jets fan. And that idea of running it back with Rex, I know there are fans that love it. I don't love it. That's not good. That's concerning. I mean, he hasn't coached in professional football in almost 10 years, 9 years. And when he was the head coach, yes, you know, you had that great start those first 2 years, especially the year and a half. You know, you had that great run in the postseason in 2009, and then the 2010 season was great, going 11-5, and then getting back to the postseason, the conference championship game in 2010. But, man, the last 4 years, they were not good. Those last 4 years under Rex were not good. That offense was sputtering. They couldn't figure out the quarterback situation. They lost all faith in Mark Sanchez, and it just wasn't good. Offensive line was bad. It was just bad. Why would you want to go back there? Why would you want to go back there? But I could see them doing it because, again, it's a familiar name and a familiar voice, and Woody Johnson just likes Rex. I see it happening. It's what's scary about this whole thing. And even, you know, an Arthur Smith, Matt Nagy, two offensive guys, both were head coaches at one point, neither were successful, but I could see them doing that as well, because if they lose the top guys in this thing, all the top guys in this search, that's what the Jets are looking at right now, realistically. So we'll see, excuse me, how this plays out. I do think that it is interesting that the Jets have interviewed Chiefs assistant GM Mike Borgonzi and Matt Nagy. Could that be a package deal at some point? Potentially, maybe. They've also, you know, are going to interview Ryan Grigson, who is I think the VP of player personnel at Minnesota, and Flores and Josh McCown. Could that be a package some way, like a package deal at some point? Makes you scratch your head and think, you know, what could they be thinking about with regards to that? So those are things to think about with regards to this New York Jets coaching search. As far as the Giants are concerned, well, they don't have to worry about a search right now because they're going to roll again with Brian Daboll. They're going to roll with him for another year. Now, it's going to get interesting because do the Giants risk drafting a young quarterback with a coach at a GM on a hot seat? And that's going to be fascinating to watch next season because Shador Sanders is a guy that's been linked to the Giants. He's walking around, you know, Colorado with the Giants cleats all over the locker room. We see it on Instagram and on Twitter and X. If the Giants went that route, Is he going to play right away? I would imagine he would, especially it's Deion Sanders' kid. But if the team struggles and the quarterback struggles, or if the, you know, or for whatever reason, the Giants at the end of next season decide to move on from Dable and Shane, that could hurt that player. It could even hurt Shedeur Sanders or whoever, you know, or Drew Aller, whoever the Giants end up drafting at quarterback. So it's something that's going to be very intriguing. That's why I think some people think, well, maybe the Giants will go out there, add a stopgap quarterback. Maybe that's their best option, like a Kirk Cousins. I know it's not a name you want to hear if you're a Giants fan, but maybe they end up doing that because of the pressure that's going to be on these two guys to win and to win right away. And these are two guys who have seen this team kind of go in a downward spiral since that playoff run they had just, you know, a little over 2 years ago. So the Giants are in a situation. I don't understand why Giant fans are upset. I totally get that. But this is an organization that's been too quick on the trigger finger, per se, of firing coaches. You know, for after Coughlin left in 2015, it was 2 years McAdoo gone, 2 years Pat Shurmur gone, 2 years Joe Judge gone. And this would have been 3 years of Brian Dable. Dable's a good coach. I mean, he won the coach here just a couple of years ago. Certainly a better coach than the previous three coaches that I just mentioned. I can understand why they wanted to roll back with him. I could see why John Mara wanted to do that. You want to have some continuity. You don't want to rattle the cages too much. See what happens and try to be a little more patient. And maybe patience ends up helping the Giants this time. We'll see. But if it doesn't, it could have a negative impact on whatever rookie quarterback they do end up bringing in to the fold in 2025. We'll see how that plays out. So that's where the Giants and the Jets stand right now as they sit back, and or at least their fans anyway, sit back and watch everybody else play in the playoff games this weekend while they, the Giants try to figure out their game plan for player personnel, and the Jets trying to figure out how to get a head coach and GM in the fold. Again, we got the playoff football coming up here. It's going to be a big weekend. L.A. against Houston, L.A. Chargers against Houston, Pittsburgh and Baltimore. That's on Saturday. And then the games on Sunday, Denver, Buffalo, Green Bay, Philly, Washington, Tampa. And then concluding on Monday in, we assume, L.A. I mean, that could certainly change. I'm recording this on a Thursday, okay? So this is as the fires are going on in Los Angeles as we speak. And the talk of the town right now, the talk of the nation, is that that game is going to get moved to Phoenix and the home of the Arizona Cardinals, which to me would probably be the more prudent move. I'm sure certainly by the time you hear the show, they would have made a decision one way or the other where to move that game. But that adds another intangible to that football game between Minnesota and L.A. The Vikings have been one of the best teams all year, 14 wins. The Sam Darnold story has been fun to watch, of course, with the way that offense rolls with under Kevin O'Connell. And, of course, the defense under Brian Flores, they have been incredible all season. And then you're going up against a L.A. team that's been there and done that. A head coach and a quarterback in Matthew Stafford and Sean McVay, who have been there and done it and won big. And that's going to be a fascinating game, and maybe the L.A. kind of takes that, you know, win one for everybody back home kind of mentality, and that could end up carrying them. It's an intangible that nobody had thought about before is now in play. That Pittsburgh-Baltimore game is going to be fun to watch. It's a shame that it's on a streamer because I think that game, the atmosphere, cold weather, potentially snow, two teams that hate each other, two teams that know each other better than ever than anybody else in this wild card weekend, that is going to be fun to watch. Do not discount Pittsburgh because I know they've been struggling. I know they've lost, you know, five in a row. Do not discount them on the road against a division rival. I have seen this movie before where you have a team that comes in having struggled towards the end of the regular season and then gets into the postseason and then realizes, hey, we got new life here. And when they see somebody they know on the other sideline, it just becomes a different animal. I have seen that happen. So do not be shocked if Pittsburgh goes in there and at the very least gives Baltimore a scare. I know Baltimore is better. I know that they have the better, you could certainly say the better quarterback at this point in their careers, comparing Lamar Jackson and Russell Wilson. Coaches, you know, certainly the coaching staff, Baltimore, maybe better than Pittsburgh's, possibly. You could make that argument. Defensively, you could make the argument Pittsburgh that Baltimore's better. Do not discount Pittsburgh in this game. That's all I'm going to say. L.A. and then the other L.A. team, the L.A. Chargers and Houston, that's going to be a that's going to be an interesting one. We'll see that. That's a game that is a show me game. Prove it to me for both of those teams, because Houston's been struggling down a stretch. The Chargers have been haven't been to the playoffs in a long time, and we're going to find out whether Justin Herbert and crew can deliver the goods for Jim Harbaugh. And then take a look at the Sunday games. I think Buffalo will run all over Denver. And then Philadelphia, Green Bay, totally depends on Jalen Hurts' health. If he plays with that, you know, despite the concussion situation and gets cleared in concussion protocol, then the Eagles should win. Regardless, the Eagles are going to need a big day from Saquon Barkley. Philly will need a big day from Saquon Barkley in order to take out Green Bay and knock them out of the playoffs. Washington, Tampa, I expect I could see that game being a bit of a shootout. I really could. Two high-flying offenses. Two, you know, a good veteran quarterback in Baker Mayfield, good young quarterback in Jane Daniels. Two teams that have two offensive coordinators that are hot on the trail of head coaching jobs potentially next year. That's going to be a fun game to watch. So NFL playoffs, they're here, and it's going to be fun to see how this thing breaks out over the next month as we make our way towards the big game. We'll take a break. We're back after this.